This is a Hipsters of the Coast podcast. This Doom Travelers podcast is brought to you by Hipsters of the Coast, your destination for magic news, strategy, and entertainment. And by Cast Haven, where you can build your magic collection like a pro. Visit casthaven.com for more information.
Welcome to another episode of Doom Travelers, where we play Destiny and talk about magic. We're coming to you live from underneath this weird contraption that the speaker uses to do unspeakable things to the people of the tower. This week we'll be talking about the dragons of Dragons of Tarkir. The entire set has now been spoiled. The pre-release is on the horizon. The Pro Tour is just down the calendar. And boy, are there dragons. This set has more dragons than you can literally shake a stick at. But before we get into that, I'll introduce my panelists. Joining me are Dave McNasty McCoy and Matt the Obliterator Jones, and I'm your host, Rich Stein. Dave, let's start with you. What do you think this contraption is used for?
You know, I read something about it on Reddit, and I don't remember what it's called. But it's something, it's scanning the traveler for like energy changes or something.
Oh man, that's a real answer. Matt, what do you wish this contraption was doing, since Dave gave us the real answer?
I'm pretty sure it's where they make Skittles.
Where they make Skittles.
Yeah, I also read that on Reddit somewhere.
This is where they manufacture No Land Beyond, is what I think.
Oh my god, just infinite No Land Beyond.
It's just infinite. It's slowly, what they're doing is they're taking all our exotics and they're replacing them with No Land
Beyond. Now they're taking all the Galahorns and turning them into No Land
Beyond. Oh, there are no Galahorns.
I've gotten so many No Land Beyond. So
that's true. All right, let's get that. Let's queue up for some Crucible and talk about some dragons. So Dragons of Tarkir. What a great time to be a fan of dragons. We'll start off with just some numbers. There are 25 dragon creatures in Dragons of Tarkir, and that includes five cycles. One mythic cycle, which is two colors, two rare cycles. One is two colors, one is monocolored, and two uncommon cycles. One is uncommon and one is monocolor. And that's a lot of dragons, 25 dragons. To put that in perspective, there were only just over a dozen angels in Avacyn Restored, 13 angel creatures in Avacyn Restored. So more than double just under double that. So do you guys think they've achieved their goal of making a dragon set about dragons?
Yes.
Yeah, they nailed it. That's a lot of dragons.
Yeah, they did a very good job.
It's unreal. So the ASFAN of those 25 dragons is 0.58. That comes to you thanks to a website called yeefbear.com, Y-E-E-F. 0.58, that means in every two packs, you're virtually statistically guaranteed to see a dragon in every two packs you open, a literal dragon creature. But there's more. There is so much more. There is an entire cycle of uncommons that care about dragons, such as Draconic Roar and Scaleguard Sentinels, and of course, Silimgar Scorn. So these are cards that are kind of not too exciting unless you happen to have a dragon in your hand that you can reveal. What do you guys think about that as a mechanic?
It's a fascinating mechanic. You can also you can also control a dragon.
Yeah, if you have a dragon in play.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
or have it right in your now. Hand. So like Silimgar Scorn is blue for a counter spell if you have a dragon or reveal a dragon from your hand. Whereas if you do not have either of those things, it's just a force spike make your opponent pay one more to cast.
That's a massive difference in power level between four spike, especially a four spike for two blue versus counterspell, flat out counterspell.
It is a huge difference.
But as a mechanic, we haven't seen a lot of mechanics like this before, where you get this kind of overpower. Can you think of a example where we've seen this kind of thing, or is this more or less uncharted territory?
Man, I haven't been around for too long, so I can't really.
Yeah, tell you. I mean, I've been around for a long time, and you know, other than things like Goblin Grenade. right?
Goblin Grenade.
But like, I guess there was a cycle in Lorwyn actually that was like, if you reveal like spells that cost less mana, if you revealed something from your hand at the same time. Like, I remember there was a elf, 3/2 elf with Death Touch that would get cheaper to cast. You could play it on turn two if you revealed an elf from your hand. But this is pretty powerful. And that's one of the ways that they've managed to make this set more dragon-y, so to say. So if you look at cards like that, and I put together a short list of cards that what dragons matter cards or create dragons. So the mythic, there's a red mythic that destroys all creatures a player controls and puts a bunch of dragons into play. You think that one's gonna see some play?
That one has EDH written all over it.
Right?
Yeah
for sure.
Yeah, I think it's something like destroy any number of creatures and you get 4/4 dragons for it. It's pretty nice.
Oh, it's not even like all the creatures, it's you get to pick and choose.
Yeah, I think so.
That's bonkers.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Big fan.
That's absolutely bonkers. But no, I mean, it's you know, there's a lot of these cards. So I looked at them. There's one at common, which is Sarkhan's Rage. I forget exactly what that does, but you know, you can guess what a card named Sarkhan's Rage does, right?
Is that the one that lets you tutor up a dragon?
No, the one that lets you tutor a dragon, I believe, is a rare, isn't it?
No, that's an uncommon.
Oh, it's an uncommon?
Yeah, it's like Sarkhan's something or other, and it's 3. It's 2 and a red for an instant speed. Go find
dragon. Oh, right. It's like the dragon version of Idyllic Tutor.
Yeah, something like that.
Also, the monuments, right? The monuments are a nice step up. Do you think the monuments will see a little more play than what were they called? The
clue stones?
Not clue stones, but what were the ones from Khanzatark here? The banners.
Oh yeah, they'll see more. Of course, they're the only mana fixing in the set right now.
Evolving Wilds is
that doesn't count, my friend.
Really, really sad to hear that.
Does not really count. I'm sorry, but but yeah, they're the only mana fixers in the set. This set is full of expensive things. And so you're going to need both the ramp and the fixing if you're going to play 2 or 3 color decks. So,
yeah, Explosive Vegetation is back, right? So there's a little bit of ramp. Not too much else, though. You're right. So you're going to have to, at least in Limited, rely a little bit on that one pack of Fate Reforged, right?
Yeah.
To throw you a
you'll bit get of exactly mana fixing. One land per pack.
It's probably not very good.
But they're not trying to get you to play all those colors, so it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely trying to push you back into two.
How's Kadar even going to draft this set?
Well, he has Alara Reborn for the next couple days, so
that's true.
That's what he's gonna have to use. So,
yeah. Speaking of them pushing you into two colors, it's not every day we get to revisit something we talked about weeks ago.
Yeah.
When Fate Reforged came out, right? And we were discussing the difficulties of drafting Fate Reforged and how it looked like it was very difficult to draft three color decks in Fate Reforged because they were likely trying to push people into two colors. And now we're pretty confirmed about that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, we're definitely back into two-color world. It's interesting how they've managed to make these two colors seem different than the Ravnica color pairs, which seemed like it would be very difficult. But it's pretty impressive that they managed to do that.
Yeah, it's exciting to see that there's enough design space in two colors that they can do that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I appreciate that.
You know, because Ravnica is a world about where 10, all 10 two-color factions are trying to live in harmony, whereas this is a set where we have 5 two-color factions living in obvious conflict.
Yeah, you have all these jerk-off dragons killing everybody.
And yeah, and that's how we get cards like we have that whole cycle of cards that do things to enemy color cards, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I forget the old cycle. I remember the old cycle pretty well, which was Deathmark and Combust, and now we have a new cycle of similar cards.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're the enemy color that got pushed out of each clan now has the enemy color hate in it, which is pretty sweet.
It's an impressive amount of storytelling going on there, just in that cycle of 5 cards. But getting back to the dragons, so there's 20-something of these non... They're not dragon creatures, but they either care about dragons... such as Silumgar Scorn, or they can create new dragons, tokens, or become dragons, like the Monument Cycle. And if you put all of that together, you're actually looking at what Mark Rosewater calls Azfan. You're actually looking at an Azfan of 1.33, according to my calculations. Which means every draft is going to have you're going to open 4 dragons, which is a pretty high number to put it bluntly. Yeah,
and those are just cards that are either cast as dragons or can transform into dragons or care about dragons. Like those aren't even cards that show dragons on them in the art. Or reference dragons in their name or their purpose. Sure. You know, so yeah, you're just gonna open a Dragons of Tarkir pack, and half of it's gonna have pictures of dragons on it, and you're gonna be like, oh man, this is a dragon set. So
it's a bummer for those of us who don't really care about dragons.
I don't know. You're pretty gruel, Jones. You don't care about dragons very much.
I think when the fantasy thing was going down when I was a kid, I just didn't care about dragons. I'm more of like a monsters guy. I like monsters. Dragons are just giant dinosaurs. Not into it.
Yeah, they kind of are dragon dinosaur or a giant dinosaurs with the wings.
Yeah, especially some of the ones in this set, right?
Yeah, some of them look super dinosaur-y.
Yeah, some of the Dromoka dragons are pretty fat, too.
Yeah, I like the fat dragons are my favorite.
It's pretty funny.
It's a pretty nice change, to be fair.
Yeah. It's interesting how so many dragons in the set influenced the rest of the cards in the set. So I was wondering why they settled on something like Megamorph as the morph variation.
Right.
And it's definitely has something to do with the fact that all of the rares are basically dragons, and they're big creatures. So you needed a way to turn the small creatures into creatures that could potentially deal with larger dragons. And so they came up with Megamorph, which adds a 1/1 counter when you unmorph it. But it also put an interesting pressure on the removal that they gave us access to. They've been very stingy with the cards that kill other cards in recent sets. And now we not only have pacifism back for the first time since I think Avacyn Restored-ish around then, but you
another
have
another set full of big creatures.
Yeah, but you also have a better throttle, which was 5 mana for -4/-4. It's I forget the name off the top of my head. I think it's called Flatten or something. That lets you do -4/-4 for 3 in a black.
Right.
So, you know, you get a straight upgrade there. You get Deathwind, which is X in a black for -X/-X. You get a Diabolic Edict-ish card. Like it's pretty sweet how much better the removal is in this suite or in this set, since we're gonna have to be dealing with gigantic creatures so often.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, you have to imagine limited, a lot of limited matches may end up being pretty full of stalemates, right? Where you just have a ton of dragons on either side of the board because there's limited access to removal.
Yeah, well, pacifism is a common, so thankfully we'll have enough pacifisms to go around, but...
Yeah, you'd think, how's pacifism going to play out? You think pacifism might find its way into standard? There seems to be a ton of control cards in this set, right? Some of the dragons are controlling, but, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, being able to play Counterspell, right? Do you think there's a Counterspell dragon deck out there with things like pacifism and whatnot?
Well, I mean, the blue-black control deck in Standard right now uses Silumgar as a finisher because he's hexproof, like the Silumgar from Fravor Forged. Because he's
hexproof. Oh, sure, yeah, of course.
So
why not throw some counter spells in there?
Yeah, I mean,
man. Oh my god, that sounds like such a nightmare.
I was going to say, what a terrible time for non-blue mages.
Oh my god. Continue to keep me away from playing Standard.
Yeah, for a blue-black deck, that is definitely a nightmare. Yeah.
I mean, with just Silumgar, though, like we said, the power level of a 2-mana 4-spike isn't the same, right? But, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into power level and the environment. It'll be tough for dragons to unseat the current champion of Standard creatures, right, which is Seadrino, our favorite.
I've heard about that card. Has anybody talked about that at length recently?
No.
I don't know.
I feel like it's very under-discussed.
Surprisingly, perhaps, none of the dragons, from a pure stats perspective, right, how we talked about Seadrino being a 4-5 for 4 mana, none of the dragons are similarly sporting that kind of a stat to casting cost power shift, right?
Yeah, a lot of the cards seem to be casted for or costed for a more casual user base. You know, they added the creature type Elder to these dragons, which I guess means something, but you know, they're definitely aimed at your EDH or multiplayer.
Yeah, I think for sure. They're certainly, it's an interesting thing. I appreciate that they want to be able to capture the flavor of Elder Dragons, something which they haven't done in 21 years. The last cycle of Elder Dragons were the Elder Dragons from Dominaria, which was, of course, the Nicol Bolas cycle. And those were 8 mana. Those were 7/7 dragons for, I believe it was 8 mana. And they were all insanely powerful, but had an upkeep. So yeah, I mean, the Elder Dragons are, they're 6/5, 6/6, and 7 mana.
Mm-hmm.
For them in brood order, with Atarka, of course, being the biggest, as an 8/8 for 7 mana, which is totally understandable for the red-green dragon.
Yeah, ramp colors dragon.
Yeah, And Atarka has a pretty brutal ability, hitting for 5 damage across creatures and planeswalkers, but not players. Are you impressed with the dragons? Like mechanically, other than the fact that they're dragons, are they actually going to do anything exciting?
You know, there are two dragons that I'm personally impressed with. One is the Thunderbreak Regent. For 4/4 with flying, and whenever a dragon you control is targeted by a spell, an opponent's spell, it does 3 damage to that player. That one seems constructed playable for sure, and it's also an interesting design in terms of protecting your dragons. And then the other one is what's his nose? The blue white legendary dragon.
Ojutai.
Yeah, Ojutai seems like a really sweet card.
Yeah. I mean, I have to admit, I'm pretty it's tough that they cost 6 mana. I understand you can't be playing dragons on all the time on turns 2 and 3 and 4. But it's a little sad because some of the effects are so good if you were able to play them just a little sooner. For example, Kolaghan's ability to give all your other creatures haste is really powerful, but not so much after turn 6. So I feel like some of them are going to be like you said, they're going to appeal a lot to the casual crowd. After that, I just don't know how exciting they're really going to be. It's certainly exciting from a casual standpoint. It's exciting from an EDH standpoint. It's even exciting, from a limited standpoint, because you're going to play these guys if you get them in limited. And the limited experience should be, I hope the limited experience ends up being a lot of fun, but I can definitely see it backfiring, because you just don't know if you're going to end up with a lot of stalemates or you're going to end up with a lot of interactive matches.
Well, there are a lot of ways to spend your mana in this set, with morphing cards at the beginning and megamorphing them on turns 6 and 7.
Right.
You're always going to have something to do with your mana in the limited environment. Now, whether or not that turns standard into even more of a mid-range fest than it currently is, will remain to be seen. But
I like adding fest to the end of words.
Adding what?
I like when Dave just said if it'll be a mid-range fest. I like thinking about all of these things as festivals.
It's a dragon fest, a mid-range fest, a dragon fest
for sure.
Now, getting back to dragons, peripheral dragons, and especially the Elder Dragon Lords, I want to talk about the command cycle. That's another set of cards that isn't really dragon-related. There's no dragon creatures. They don't make dragons. They don't care whether or not you have dragons in play. But they're decisively flavorful for dragons.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think of the new command cycle?
I have somebody's really going at it with their controller there. I mean, I don't know. Like, what are you thinking? I think they're all pretty good and limited, obviously, right?
Well, I mean, do you think they capture the flavor of the dragon commander that they're meant to be issued from?
Yeah, I think they do it like really, really precisely. And it's not, I think things like that aren't very interesting. I'd rather that things weren't quite as linear as they end up being. I think that all the commands link up to their dragon.
So you think they're pretty cookie cutter, right? Like, here's 2 abilities in one color and 2 yeah. abilities in the other color.
Totally cookie cutter.
And there we go.
There's your command.
There's your command. Which is a little, I mean, it's when they made the commands in Lorwyn block, obviously they were mono-colored, so it was easy to just pick four abilities that fit one color and throw them in there. But now, I guess they could have done something a little more interesting, right? Because you have a two-color combination. So, for example, Dromoka's command prevents all damage an instant or sorcery would do. That's a white ability. Target player sacrifices an enchantment, I suppose, is both white and green. But probably more white than green. And then you've got put a +1/+1 counter on a creature, which is green. And target creature you control fights a creature you don't control, which is green. So kind of two white, two green abilities. Pretty straightforward. And they're all like that. Some of them obviously are more powerful than others. But you're right. There's nothing, nothing interesting about them. And I wonder if that was intentional or just because it made the design simpler. Sorry, I mean intentional from a story design perspective or intentional just from a simplicity perspective. And I suspect it was more about the simplicity of doing things in a very straightforward, obvious way instead of trying to confuse people.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a lot easier than the other commands are. Also, in terms of the complexity of what they do.
They're a lot... yeah, I mean, the old commands were pretty linear as well, except for Cryptic Command. None of these, obviously, are Cryptic Command.
No, not even close.
They certainly capture the flavor of the clan of the brood. Sorry, I shouldn't say clans. I'll get eaten by a dragon.
Oh man!
You might get worn as a necklace.
Anyways, yeah, I might get worn as a necklace.
You're not gonna have enough mana to worry about it. Worried about getting eaten by a dragon.
But yeah, so no, you're right. There's tons of dragons. So if you're a fan of dragons, this is the set for you. And if you're not a fan of dragons, then I guess you're kind of shit out of luck for the next few months.
You get to look forward to Modern Masters and Zendikar.
Yeah,
which you are a fan of for sure.
At Duels Origins, Magic Origins, these sets, they're very sad that you completely forgot about them. But no, it's going to be an exciting few months, right? We got Dragons of Tarkir coming out this in a week or two. And then in 2 months, we've got Modern Masters. 2 months after that is going to be Magic Origins. And 3 months after that, of course, is going to be the Battle for Zendikar. So if you don't like dragons, don't worry. You only have to deal with them for the next few months. They're limited legal, and the next year and a half that they'll be standard legal, and the rest of your life that they'll be around as a fantasy trope. So maybe, to be fair, not necessarily the right genre for you if you're really not into dragons.
Oh, shit.
Sorry, Matt. You may wanna look into some sci-fi games, like the one we're playing.
Oh, I do. I do play a lot more Destiny than Magic. Zero dragons in this game.
All right. I would keep talking about dragons, but I'm trying to figure out how to turn this off.
Oh God.
Is there a dragon button?
Yeah, just tell them how to do it.
If I have a dragon in hand, can I then turn the stream off?
No, jeez.
Hey, Guardians. Thanks for tuning in to the Doom Travelers podcast. You can find more at doomtravelers.com or follow at Doom Travelers on Twitter for show updates and other nonsense. Make sure to subscribe to Hipsters TV on YouTube for videos of our previous episodes. And don't forget that you can find audio-only versions of the Doom Travelers podcast on iTunes. For your host, Rich Stein, and Matt the Obliterator Jones, I'm David Bones McCoy. See you next time. Now they pass William Howard Tuck.